And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Coleman Knight Community Conversations. This one is about the tax law changes that we're going to have for this year and next, and what to expect, how it will affect you, and hopefully some planning so that we can do things better. I guess the most important part to start with is that 2012 is going to begin with one set of tax rules, but there is absolutely no question there's going to be another tax law change this year, because we have too many things that have expired that the government wants to bring back, or politics wants to bring back, and we expect that to happen soon. One of the things that we all know is that there is a 2-month, 2 percentage point cut in employee share of the Social Security payroll tax, and that is going to cease at the end of February. Both the Democrats and Republicans have stated that they want to extend that for a full year. So we know that that's going to change. In addition, there are a bunch of provisions that have lapsed. There is right now the sales tax write-off that used to be deductible has lapsed and isn't, as with the college tuition and the $250 teacher's classroom supply deduction. The higher AMT exemptions and the AMT offset for personal tax credits expired, so we are now back to where we were before. And in addition, the special provision that people who are 70 and a half or older could donate up to $100,000 a year from their IRA directly to charity, that also has lapsed. It's my belief that all of these breaks will be reinstated for 2012 and made retroactive to the first, but at the moment that hasn't occurred. The $500 energy credit, that has also lapsed. And that's the credit for efficient home improvements such as storm windows, biomass fuel stoves, water heaters. And it's very unlikely that that will be brought back. However, solar credits aren't affected by that. And the limited write-off for mortgage insurance premiums, that's probably not going to be brought back. We do believe that some of the key business breaks for 2011 that lapsed that should be brought back is 100% bonus for the first year depreciation. It's been reduced to a 50% write-off for assets that are placed in service in 2012. The higher ceilings on expensing have been reduced from businesses could write off the first $139,000 that assets that are put in use in 2012. Last year, that was $500,000. And the ability to claim expensing in lieu of depreciation phases out dollar for dollar once the assets purchased increase from $560,000. Last year, you could buy up to $2 million before that phase out started. In addition, the 15-year write-off for restaurant renovations and tenant improvements is expired, and the R&D tax credit is no longer in effect. That one seems to go out each year and gets retroactively placed back in, so I suspect the R&D credit will return. Now let's go on for the estate tax. There aren't a lot of changes for that. The estate tax exemption for 2012 actually rises due to inflation from $5 million to $5,120,000. However, the annual gift tax exclusion remains the same at $13,000 per donor. The special estate tax valuation for real estate increases to $1,040,000, and more estate tax qualify for an installment payment tax break, and that's for the closely held businesses. Social Security wage base rises this year to $110,100. And the Social Security tax rate is likely to remain at 4.2%, even though it's scheduled to increase at the end of the month to 6.2%. Social Security benefits are going up to 3.6%, are going up by 3.6% in 2012. That's the first hike in Social Security benefits since 2009. The earning limits are going up too. Individuals who turn 66 this year can make up to $38,880 before a phase-out begins for them. There is no earnings cap once a beneficiary turns 66. And the amount needed to qualify for coverage rises to $1,130 a quarter, so earning $4,520 anytime during 2012 will net somebody the full fourth quarter to cover their money being put into Social Security. The threshold for the nanny tax increases to $1,800 this year. It was $1,700 in 2011. Basic Medicare Part B premium rises to $99.90 a month for 2012. So that's a $1,200 figure, averaged approximately $1,200 cost. The average Medicare cost is approximately $12,000, so we're still running a major deficit on premiums not covering costs. However, as the reduction who first enrolled in 2010 or 11, their monthly premium last year was higher. The Part B is, again, much higher for upper-income seniors. If your 2010 income exceeded $170,000 for couples or $85,000 for single people, you pay a higher rate. And to give you an idea, if you're a married couple and you're income is $170,000, but less than $214,000. Instead of paying the $99.90, you pay $139.90. If you're single and your income's over $85,000, but less than $107,000, you pay the $139.90 and a $11.60 surcharge as well. Annual caps on deductible pay-ins to health savings accounts rise in 2012. The maximums are $6,250 for account owners with family medical coverage and $3,100 for single people. The health savings account owners born before 1958 can put in $1,000 more. The limitations on out-of-pocket expenses such as deductibles and copays increases to $12,100 for those families. The limits on deducting long-term care premiums are a bit higher in 2012 as well. Taxpayers who are 71 or older can deduct $4,370 per person. Filers between 61 and 70 can deduct $3,500. Those who are between 51 and 60 can deduct $1,310. And individuals who are between 41 and 50 can deduct $660 a year. If you're under 40, you get a $350. And the limit is only applies to policies that pay up to $310 a year. If you're over that, then the amount over that is not deductible. The adoption credit can be taken up to $12,650. That's down $710 from 2011. The exclusion for company-paid adoption also decreases to $12,650. In addition, This year's tax brackets are a bit wider than they were in 2011, and that's to reflect the inflation that we've had. Basically, the 10% rate is for married people with incomes of $17,400 or less. If you're over $17,400 but less than $70,700, your rate is 15. The rate from $70,700 to $142,700 is 25%. If you, the next rate up to $217,450 is 28%. The next rate to $388,350 is 33%. And if you make over $388,350, you pay 35% in taxes. But that doesn't include the surcharges that will go into effect next year. Standard deduction for 2012 also increased by small amounts. Married couples can claim $11,900. And if one spouse is 65 or older, that standard deduction can increase to $13,050. If both are over, then it's $14,200. Personal exemptions increased to $3,800. The maximum 401k contribution for 2012 is $17,000. That's a $500 increase over 2011. And individuals born before 1963 can put away up to $22,500. The ceiling on simples stay at $11,500. And people who are 50 or older in 2012 can pay in another $2,500 into their simple beyond that, so for a total of $14,000. Employer pay-ins to qualified plans can be based on up to $250,000 worth of income. The pay-in limit for defined contribution plans increases to $50,000. That's a $1,000 jump from last year. The income ceilings for Roth IRA pay-ins also increase. The AGIs is now start at 173 through 183. Anyone over 183 can no longer put anything into a Roth IRA. There are no changes for pay-in ceilings for IRAs and Roth IRAs. The limits remain at $5,000 plus $1,000 more for people born in 1962 or earlier. The standard mileage allowance for business driving is 55.5 cents. That's the same rate that was in effect for the final 6 months of 2011. The allowance is 23 cents a mile for travel, medical purposes, and job-related moves. That's a half a cent drop compared with the last 6 months of 2011. And for charitable driving, you get 14 cents a mile. The retention credit of up to 1,000 for hiring unemployed is no more. That ended in 2012. The same thing is true for the tax credit for employing members of disadvantaged groups, except that they're unemployed veterans. We suspect that Congress will revive the full credit retroactively, but I still wouldn't do anything until that gets revived. And also the ethanol tax credit expired, and that is not expected to be revived, and the 100% gain exclusion for investors who buy stock in small company directly from the firm and hold it at least 5 years, that's been reduced. The exclusion is now 50%. Preparers filing 11 or more individual returns must e-file them this year, down from 100 or more in 2011. Returns mailed by clients aren't counted, but clients must waive e-filing and preparers must obtain a signed copy of the waiver. Preparers of returns claiming the earned income credit have a new rule. They must submit 8867. That's similar, and there's now a $500 penalty for not doing that. The exclusion for expatriates, those are people working abroad, is now $95,100. And the income taxation for trusts and estates has gone up slightly. And all of these things give you an idea just about how taxes are changing for 2012. I do want to say that for next year, we should start looking at, for 2013, there is a special levy to cover Medicare surtax on unearned income of people making $200,000 if you're single, or joint files of $250,000. So you'll pay an extra 3.8%. Investment income includes interest, dividends, capital gains, annuity, royalty, or passive income. However, tax-free interest or payouts from retirement plans such as 401ks, IRAs, Roths, or profit-sharing plans are excluded. So at 3.8%, I think there's going to be a lot of planning around it. The surtax boosts the top rate on capital gains to 18.8% from the normal 15% rate. So for this year, if you have highly appreciated assets, it's probably a good idea to sell in 2012 rather than 2013. I also suspect that that means that tax-exempt bonds are going to become more popular with high-income investors in order to save 3.8%. And the other interesting thing is deferring compensation beyond 2012 may trigger that surtax. So that's a very interesting item. So people who have deferred comp may want to see if they can end that and take that in 2012 as well. And it also means that if you're thinking about converting to a Roth this year, if you're converting to a Roth, you should do it this year versus next so you don't wind up in that. Now, there's another levy, another surtax, and this one is on earned income. And it's a 0.9% surtax on wages and income. And that one begins at $200,000 for single, $250,000 for couples. So the effective Medicare tax rate on earnings over thresholds will be 3.18% rather than the usual 2.9%. That's another reason you may not want to defer until 2013. And an interesting thing has occurred. Citibank is now issuing 1099s to customers who receive miles for opening accounts there, but the IRS is not going to tax those miles, so that's a good thing. And so basically, also, I guess another one I should bring up is that March 15th is the deadline for flex plan participants. So if you have a flex plan participant, you need to do something about that. Otherwise, your any funds that are left over will be forfeited. And the other one that I think is interesting is that the on 1099s, the IRS wants to know if self-employed, farmers, landlords, partnerships, regular corporation, FMA payments that must be reported. They have to check a box stating whether they filed or will file all 1099s. So that's an interesting change. And I think that with that, I've sort of covered all the tax things that are going to affect everyone this year. Does anybody have any questions? Well, if not, then let me thank all of you for listening and allowing me to go through what the new tax rates and for 2012 are and the new rules and what we think this will be for people for 2012 and 2013. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye.